Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this day to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just to remind you to please make sure that you go to our bulletin as well as our webpage to stay abreast of all that's happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. And of course, what's coming up foremost is our Vacation Bible School, again, which will begin on the 29th. Hope to see most of you come out and be a part of that. Friends, our scripture reading this morning is going to come from the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church, little church at Colossae. We'll be reading from the first chapter, verses 15 through 28. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. And I'm now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Friends, thanks for being here this morning. We're really small in number this morning, but I have to congratulate you all. You're all a very good-looking bunch this morning. It's a good thing, because as God's people, you know, we need to be concerned about our image, what we look like, and who we look like is very important. I'm not saying we need to dress up or wear suits or anything like that. I can say that now that Bill McEwen's not here. But image is important. What we look like is important. Our image is terribly important, and that's what Paul is concerned with in our reading this morning. Paul is very much concerned about image. He wants to make sure that we model ourselves on the right image. The Greek word for image, of course, is the word icon, and one of the most iconic images in Paul's day was the image of the Roman emperor. The image of the emperor, of course, was everywhere. It was ubiquitous. You couldn't get away from it. Whatever you did, it was there. If you went to the market, if you went to the gym, if you went to a sporting event, if you went to the places of worship, you would see the various images of the emperor. It was on statues and carvings, paintings. The Roman emperor was everywhere. His image was on lamps and paintings, on jewelry, and of course, on the money. So every time you did a commercial exchange, you had to look at the emperor. We know that. We remember the story in the gospel narratives where the question of taxes is raised and Jesus asks for a coin and someone gives him a coin and he says, whose image is on it? And they say, Caesar's. And Jesus said, then give Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give God what belongs to God. But the point is that the image of Caesar was everywhere. And all of the images of the emperor were designed to say the same thing. They were designed to say that this is the person who's in charge. This is the person who rules everything. This is a person who has authority. This is the person who is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. This is the person who is in control. For many people, the emperor was the image of the invisible God. If our understanding of God is that God is all powerful, that God is almighty, that God is in control of everything, then the emperor is in the image of God. For many people, the emperor was the one who was in control of everything. He was the one who held everything together. The emperor was the one who was what everyone wanted to be. He was the head of everything. He was first in everything. Kind of like the way today when we talk about the first family or the first lady. Well, the emperor was first in everything. He was preeminent in everything, and so his image was everywhere, and all of those images were designed to say just that. They were designed to say that this is the person who is in control of the known world. But all of those images were also designed to say something else. They were designed to say something about what it means to be human, what it means to be a human being. The emperor was the epitome of what it meant to be human. So if you wanted to be human, if you wanted to be a real human being, you had to be more and more like the Roman emperor. You had to at least be a Roman, but you had to be more and more like a Roman emperor. You had to be powerful. You had to be in control. You had to be domineering. You had to not need anyone. You had to be independent. That's what it meant to be a human being. And so the emperor was the iconic human being. His image was what it meant to be human in the ancient world. The Apostle Paul, of course, was a Roman citizen. He was a Roman citizen. He was also a Jew. But Paul hardly measured up to the Roman definition of what it meant to be human. By his own admission, he didn't have a very striking image, and that alone caused him a great deal of trouble. He wasn't much in control of things either. In fact, he often found himself being controlled by events rather than controlling them. Everywhere he went, he was constantly getting into trouble. He was constantly getting beat up. He was constantly getting thrown in jail. Everywhere he went, there were riots, and he had to be gotten out of trouble. So Paul was hardly someone who looked like the Roman measure of what it meant to be human. But Paul was on this mission. He had this special mission. And one of the things that he's doing is he's going all around the Roman Empire and he is helping to establish these little communities. Ecclesias in Greek. Today we would call them churches. But he's going around the Roman Empire, in the very face of the Roman Empire, in the very face of the emperor, right under the emperor's nose, and he's establishing these little communities that make the claim that Jesus is Lord. That the real Lord of the world, the real Savior of the world, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what he is proclaiming. He wants these little communities that he is establishing to re-image the world, to re-image reality and to re-image God and to re-image what it means to be a human being around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes this little letter to the church at Colossae this morning with the purpose of helping them to re-image reality. The church at Colossae couldn't have been that big with only about 25, 30 people at most. It's at the edge of the mighty Roman Empire, and they seem so small and so insignificant compared to the empire all around them. But Paul wants them to see the way things really are. And so he is trying to tell them about Jesus. About this Jesus that they believe in, this Jesus that they are proclaiming, this Jesus who they say is Lord. And he's telling them that Jesus is the one, this Jesus who was crucified on the cross, this Jesus, this poor Jewish peasant. Paul is saying that he is the one who is the image of the invisible God. For many people, that would have been laughable. For many people, that would have sounded ridiculous. Many people did laugh. Many people did say it was ridiculous. But Paul says that is the truth, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God looks like, don't go to the emperor. If you want to know what God looks like, don't look at the powerful people. Don't look at the people who are well established. Don't look at the people with majesty and might. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. Because he is in the image of the invisible God. And Paul says, if you want to know who's holding all things together, again, it's not the Roman emperor, but the one who is holding all things together is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, every few years we look for people and vote for people and elect people who we believe can hold everything together, can hold the economy together, can hold the political body together, can hold the chaos at bay. We look for people who can hold everything together. But Paul says this morning that the one who is holding all things together is the Lord Jesus Christ. He holds the whole world together. So don't look for the emperor to be able to hold things together. The emperor can hardly hold himself together. But Jesus is holding everything together through the power of his self giving love. And Paul is saying that Jesus is, he is the one who is really first. He is the one who is the head of everything. He is the firstborn of all of creation. He is the head of the body of the church. Everything has been created through him, all thrones and dominions, everything that is visible and invisible. It's all been created through him and for him. He is the head over everything. He is first in everything. It's a powerful attestation of the divinity of Jesus Christ. And Paul wants his little communities to see that, that no matter how things might look, that they are indeed the harbingers of the good news of the one who is in charge of over everything. But it's more important than that. This passage not only speaks of the attestation of the Lord's divinity, but it also is a powerful attestation of humanity, of all of our humanity. We are reminded that Jesus is what it means to be human. He's not only what it means to be God, but he's also what it means to be human. If you want to know what a human being is supposed to look like, then look at Jesus. In the book of Genesis, we are told that we human beings were made in the image of God. That's what it means to be human. In the way we relate to each other, in the way we relate to the world, we were created to look like God. Creatures made in the image of God, we were given dominion and authority over the whole world. That's what God had given us. He'd given us dominion and authority because we were made in His image. We were made to look like Him. But because of our fallenness, because of our sinfulness, because of our inclination to put something else other than God at the center of our lives, we became less and less the image of God and consequently less and less human. And before long, the world became filled with all manners of bloodshed and violence, so much so that we are told that it grieved God that God even created us. It grieved God that God even created us, human beings that were supposed to be made in God's image, human beings that were supposed to heal the world, human beings that were supposed to be stewards of the world. But God, in God's great love for us, sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world not only to save us, but to show us what it means to be genuine human beings made in the image of the invisible God. Today, we still live in a world that is inundated with images. Images of beauty, images of strength, images of the good life. Images about what it means to be human. There are no shortages of icons out there who want to model for us what it means to be human, and we all have those icons that we worship, sports figures, movie stars, politicians, business moguls. We live in a world that is inclined to worship all those that we see as demigods in our midst, all those who model for us what we think it means to be human. One of the images that has been making its way on social media for the last couple of days is one that we've all seen. Maybe you saw it. It was the image of that CEO. Image of the CEO who was at a concert with his mistress. He was there with his mistress, and out of all the thousands of people at the concert, the Jumbotron just happened to focus in on him as he's there embracing his mistress. And they see themselves on the Jumbotron, and they're both married. He's married, and she's married, and they're all caught in that moment where they recognize that they're caught in front of the whole world. And it's an important image because the image tells a story about an image of humanity that unfortunately is becoming more and more prevalent in our day. It's the image that says that if you're powerful and you have riches and you have money, then you can do pretty much what you want. You can cheat on your spouse. You can break your sacred bonds. You can do whatever makes you feel your desires. You can do what you want. Unfortunately, we see more and more of that vision and that image of what it means to be human in our world. We see it modeled in most of the institutions around us. We see it modeled by our political figures. We see it modeled in Hollywood. We see it modeled in nations, whatever we want. If you're big and strong and powerful enough to do it, then go ahead and do it and worry about the consequences later. But Jesus reminds us, and Paul reminds us, that you and I have a different image You and I are people who are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unlike in Paul's day, today there are all kinds of images of Jesus. There are thousands and thousands of paintings, thousands of sculptures and statues. You can see images of Jesus everywhere. They are ubiquitous. There's way more images of Jesus today than there probably ever were of Caesar. Images of Jesus are everywhere. But the most powerful images of Jesus today are not the pictures. It's not the statues. It's not the paintings. The most powerful images of Jesus today are all of us. You and me, we are people who are called to be the image of God in our midst today, just as Jesus was the image of God. We are called to bear witness to what it means to be a human being in the midst of our world. You and I are all icons. Might be hard for us to believe this morning, but that's what we are. Even though we are small in number, even though, like the folks in Colossae, we might look around the world today and we see so many things that seem so much more significant than you and me. We might think that the people who shine the real light in the world, the people who shine the brightest, are the people just mentioned earlier. It's not you and me, but it's movie stars, it's sports athletes, it's people with all kinds of prestige and power and influence. They're the ones who really are iconic and important. But no, we're reminded this morning that you and I are the real icons. We are the icons of God. We are the ones who are made in the image of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul wants us to realize and to recognize, that we have been called to help re-image the world. We are the people who are called to engage our imaginations and to live into what it means when reality is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. When reality is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a whole new world. When reality is centered around Jesus Christ, it's not the rich and the powerful that matter. It's people like you and me. When reality is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, what is most important is forgiving and being reconciled to one another. When reality is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, what matters is not power, but the love that we have for one another. When reality is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I occupy the foremost part in what God is doing in the world. When reality is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to be human is you and me and what we are doing here and what we do for each other and the way that we care for each other and love each other and love the people that God has called us to love. And so that's what it means to be an icon, people who are in the image of the invisible God, people who are in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think that we don't really believe that. We don't really believe that we are as important and as significant as we really are. Sometimes we might be tempted to believe we're just this small collection of people who come together Sunday after Sunday, but we're the people who are called to change the world. We are really the people who are called to change the world. God has called you and me to be the world changers, to be the people who are the first fruits too of the new creation. And so this morning, my friends, I would call you to live in to who you are, live into that iconic image of who you are, live into what it means to be people made in the image of God. Because like Paul, we have a mission. We have something that we're called to do, and that is to proclaim the good news to the whole world that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the true Lord of the world, and you and I are people who are made in his image. And so should we ever be the God-bearers that we have been called to be. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us out of the world to be your people. You have called us in the midst of all the images of our world to model the one image that really matters, and that is the image that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the image of your love, in the image of your grace, in the image of your forgiveness, in the image of your sovereignty, your sovereign love that is the most powerful thing in the whole world, the most powerful thing in the whole universe. You have held us together here this morning as you hold us together in all that we do. And as we look out over the world, as we look out into the galaxies and the universe, as we see the stars and the galaxies and all the heavenly bodies, we are reminded that it's all held together by you. You hold it together by your sovereign love. And it's that sovereign love that you have called us to be a part of. Because we are the people who are called to hold our communities together, to hold our families together, to hold our churches together. We are the people who are called to exercise your sovereign love in the midst of where we are. And so we ask that you help us to be able to do just that. Help us to be people who are born in your image so that we might reflect your glory and your majesty in everything that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.